Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 441. We're up to the final film of the G.I. Joe franchise. We're up to Snake Eyes, a G.I. Joe Origins from 2021. I'm your host, Adam Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So I know you've seen this in the theater, but do you remember even when you were watching it?
No. Okay. I specifically remember when I went to see this at the theater. I did a double feature. So this was like, this came out like, this was a COVID movie. It was shot in 2020 and like 2019, 2020. And then the release got pushed back because of COVID. I saw this with a double feature of Jungle Cruise with the Rock and Emily Blunt.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember going to the theater that day and I only remember that movie. Like when I was watching this, I was like, I don't remember none of this. None. Like barely anything. I was like, what the heck? They got, what is this magical stone and all this stuff? So no, I don't remember crap, dude. And I only saw this 4 years ago. So I was like, wow, it really left an impact on me the first time. I guess. I didn't remember.
Yeah, honestly, I seen this once because I got the 4K of it, of the film. Yeah, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm with you. I was just like, what the hell? Like, I remember the guy. I remember the characters. But then I had to look up while watching the movie. I had to look up the IMDb because I was like, what characters are who? Because I didn't know. Like, one problem with this movie that the other movies had problems with too was they never named themselves or like, you know, this is, you know, let's say Duke. Like, it's not like, oh, this is Duke. Like, he just walks randomly onto the screen and they start talking and you're just like assuming that who the hell is this guy? And that's the problem. And we'll talk about it with this movie because I had to look up the IMDb because there was characters in this movie that I didn't even know they were there. I was just like, what? So I was like, okay, cool. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But look, financially, this movie was atrocious.
It was a huge
bomb. Atrocious. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, why you didn't get another G.I. Joe movie. This movie, first of all, I did some research here and I had to, rightfully so, for this damn movie. Yep. This movie was budgeted at $88 million. Now, to break even, just to break even, this movie had to gross $160 to $175 million at the box office. Okay. And the audience said, sure, let's see what happens. Let's go see this movie. Well, that shit didn't happen. It's only grossed $40 million. Yeah. It lost tons of money. But this is where it gets crazy. Yes, financially, theatrically, it didn't do so good. But for some reason, this movie is hugely successful on Netflix digitally watched. So it says Snake Eyes has become viewership success after finding a home on Netflix after a disappointing debut in the theaters. What? What?
I mean,
people said this movie's good.
Well, I'm gonna give it one point, or I'm gonna give it one, not a point, but I'm gonna give it one
kudos.
Kudos. Well, not even a kudo. No, I'm just gonna say at least because it came out when it came out, nothing was making money in 2021. Nothing. Everything was like, there was like maybe three movies that were successful because of COVID. You gotta remember, still at that point, a lot of theaters were closed. Still, okay. Like, around the country. So okay. I will give it that caveat. That's the word I was thinking of. However, that is not an indication of if the movie's good or not. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, you know, hey, it was a bomb. You're right, 100%. And some other movies did make some money that year, but not a lot. Most of them were like, number. No, right. I remember we were doing lives. Like week after week, it was like, this one made $10 million and it had a $100 million budget. Or, you know, I think maybe Black Widow made money that year. But also they did it on Disney Plus. Remember they did like that rental thing?
Where that's right. It was the premiere. You had to pay $30 to watch it from home. Yeah, pay
$30 or go to the theater. Yeah. So I think that one made money. Godzilla vs. Kong came out around then and that made money. But Mortal Kombat, I think, was this one. I think this was that was the year HBO was doing the same day and same in HBO Max and in the theater.
Right.
So Godzilla vs. Kong, I think, did pretty good. Mortal Kombat did pretty good. But then you had like this, Suicide Squad. Didn't make a lot of money at the box office because people were staying home to watch it. So
Army of the Dead.
Oh yeah, Army of the Dead.
Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Yeah, all these were not big. None of them were like big money makers that year because of COVID. So I'll give it that caveat, but that again is no indication of quality.
You're right. The Conjuring, the Devil Made Me Do It.
Oh, yeah.
Cruella.
Cruella, and that was a Disney, I think. No, that came out in the theater.
That was a premium.
But it was also a premium rental thing.
Yes. Yeah. The Exorcist Believer. Oh, no, that was the 23rd. The 23rd. But it said it still got impact. It's the script writing or something.
Oh, yeah. COVID, anything that came out between like 2020 and 2023 was like, had a lot of back, you know, some issues maybe.
Yeah.
But you know what? Within that time frame, Top Gun Maverick came out, saved theaters for a little while. Barbie and Oppenheimer came out. So from now on, there's no excuses. If this would have came out now and did this, I would have had nothing to, you know, I couldn't say caveat. Nope, just a failure.
Yeah, well, we'll see what the critics and audience have to say about
it. You know what? Movie. Now that you say that, this makes a lot of sense.
Oh, on the numbers as far as the high?
Scores. Yes.
Oh, so my God.
I had no, listen, when I went to get these numbers, I was like, what? There's no way. So critics, they're still not buying it, actually. That's only 35% with the critics. But that is 6% higher than the last G.I. Joe movie, The Retaliation. Yeah.
Okay.
This beat it by 6%. So that was a 29, this is a 35. But the audience score, plus 26%. This has a 74% audience score.
What?
Yes. I was like, this has got to be a typo. It's got to be a typo. And it's not. 74% audience score. So apparently, you know what, Alex? Maybe the people weren't going to the theater. Maybe they were closed. And so they didn't see it. And then now that they did, they were like, it's not that bad. You know, this could have been these not that bad reviews instead of it's amazing reviews.
Well, we got more podcasts, right? We have more people in our brotherhood podcasts, right? Creators.
Yeah.
That are doing movies like this, right? They're doing the whole, you know, Rotten Tomatoes. You know, they'll do Rotten Tomato movie reviews and they give their opinion, right? So maybe since we're doing G.I. franchise, maybe there's other people that did the franchise also and went, hey, this movie's actually pretty good. And then they put it, and they're,
they watch it.
And they actually, you know, maybe promoted it saying this is really good. You know, they might have access to Rotten Tomatoes and they went, this movie's actually pretty decent, right? Well, let me just tell you, this ain't no other podcast, okay? We're going to tell you guys if this is...
What's the quote on the back of that 4K since you have it handy? It's at the top.
This is the best G.I. Joe movie ever.
I saw it when I went to put it in and I was like, what? The best G.I. Joe movie yet.
And it's the best because it's Snake Eyes without the helmet in the suit. Yeah.
Crazy rich snake eyes. Crazy rich snake eyes. Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, look, we're going to give ourselves.
Who cares? We're going to give our thoughts.
Yeah, we're going to give our thoughts. And of course, you guys already know if you listen to podcasts for so many years, you guys know we're going to give the most honest and brutally honest reviews on these action films. So this is a highly action filmed, right? This is an action film and it falls under the category of G.I. Joe cartoons. So let's take it away. With the lead character. Now, this is Snake Eyes. So the film is Snake Eyes, right? It's the origin of the main character, Snake Eyes. For those of you out there that don't know G.I. Joe, he's the guy in the helmet, the motorcycle helmet looking thing that's black. So it's his origin. So but take it away.
Henry Golding. But let's be honest. Storm Shadow, not a bad guy throughout this movie.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So you could put him in, though. You could loop him in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the movie's 2 hours, which is so insane. Long. But for 10 minutes, he's bad at the very end. Maybe 5. I don't know.
Is he, though? It's a good conversation piece between me and you.
Okay. Let's talk about it. First, let's start with Snake Eyes. Obviously, he's the star. He's the main character. And literally, his name in the credits is Snake Eyes. He has no name throughout the whole movie. He's literally known. He's a little kid. His dad gets killed. He wants to get revenge on the guy who killed him. So as he grows up, he trains and he finds a way with some Yakuza guys. And he's like, they promise him, you know, you help us and we'll help you get your dad. He goes by Snake Eyes because the guy who killed his dad rolled some dice. And it came up as Snake Eyes. That's the cool origin for how he got his name, Dice. Then you get him, you know, basically he's like a double agent, essentially. He's helping this guy, Kenta, the main villain of this movie, by infiltrating the Harashikage. Who's, by the way, that is G.I. Joe stuff because that was in the last movie. A lot of these names and characters popped up in the movies we watched already, but they're just like a different version of them. He's helping them while also trying to get the stone. I'm giving you all this because there's nothing to this character and I can't, like, he's so bland, honestly. It's like, I think they thought, okay, a guy getting revenge for his dad. I think they thought that was enough characterization that, you know, that's all you need. Enough for me. That's not all I need. He has no real relationships with people. I mean, him and Tommy, which by the way, why is Storm Shadow's real name Tommy? What is this? There's no way that guy's name is Tommy. I think they made that up, but maybe not. I don't know. You know, their relationship is the only one that's like, okay, but even that feels undercooked, right? And his relationship with the girl, undercooked. This whole movie. Like it seems like a chicken that they didn't leave in the oven long enough. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's like you get it and it looks pretty good on the outside, but then it's like raw when you cut it open. That's this character. That's this movie. I gave him a 2. I'll give Henry Golding some credit. I don't think his performance is bad. Honestly, I don't. I think he's fine, but like the writing is not, doesn't do him any favors. Now, just to touch on Storm Shadow really quick. Storm Shadow is like a good guy for most of this movie. Or if not a good guy, he's like a character we're following. You know what I mean? The Hiroshikage, you can't even say they're really villains because they work with G.I. Joe in this movie. Like Scarlet helps them and works with them, which means to me, they are not a bad, like they're not a bad organization. That means Storm Shadow is a good guy for most of the movie. I like Andrew Koji. I like the actor. Yeah. I've seen him in some other stuff. He's good, actually. I like him. I don't have a problem with his performance as Storm Shadow. If anything, I think he's more interesting than Snake Eyes in this movie because he wants to become the leader of this clan. He thinks this guy's his friend. He gets double-crossed by him. Honestly, he does. And then his grandma or whatever says, you're not going to lead the clan. And that's what sets him off to join Cobra. At the very end, the Baroness comes and basically he's going to join Cobra. That's where he like, that's the only time he turns bad. Yeah. Other than that, he's, you know, he got the shaft quite a few times. And I thought I liked him. I didn't love him because I don't love anything in this movie, but I thought he was more interesting than Snake Eyes. Doesn't change my score, but I just wanted to touch base with that. So I gave it a 2. Oh, and we get Scarlet, who is Samara Weaving, who's hot. I don't have no problem with the casting. But you could tell they just put these people in so that they can make it like G.I. Joe. Like, who can we? Scarlet. She'll be in 2 scenes, literally, one in the airport and then at the end with her gear. That's it. She's in 2 parts. Oh, who else? The Baroness. And they're different actresses. I like Samara Weaving, but whatever. It just felt tacked on. So I give it a 2.
Okay, so I agree with you on the 2. I totally agree with you on the 2. It felt flat. And this is the problem, okay? Snake Eyes. Let's get to Snake Eyes. I did not like the origin. This one was, to me, it felt so made up. First of all, he did not get his name Snake Eyes from his dude rolling dice. And that's what killed his father. And now he's going to, like, why would you torment yourself calling yourself Snake Eyes and that's the thing that killed your dad? Like, why would you call yourself Snake Eyes? Like, I mean, first of all, it's a cool fucking name as an alias.
Yeah.
But that is a horrible, like, way to name yourself after your dad's death. I'm going to call myself Snake Eyes. But anyway, just wanted to throw some stuff here at you, okay? The original concept of Snake Eyes, for those of you out there, okay, it's not by this movie. The original concept for Snake Eyes was that he was a Vietnam Special Forces veteran who was severely disfigured in a helicopter explosion during the first G.I. Joe mission. That's where that's they got the helmet. Mask. Yeah, that's how he got the helmet. And then I guess he stays mute, whatever. Then throughout the years, because remember, G.I. Joe, Vietnam and all that, not many people know of that history, right? They don't follow it, or we're not in this generation or last generation or decades behind it, Vietnam Wars and all that, right? Yeah. So they changed it to him as a kid. He was homeless or orphan. He ate, you know, in the
Hiroshikage.
Yeah, the Hiroshikage, whatever. Clans, you know, pantry. Yeah. Storm Shadow finds him, whoops his ass, and they're fighting each other. And then the master comes in and said, hey, Storm Shadow, bring him into our clan. And I was like, okay, cool. That to me is a way better storyline. But the other one would have been pretty cool too those of you, I mean, I would have preferred that as him as a military
person who gets disfigured and maybe like his vocal cords get like
destroyed. Damaged. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine.
I think that would have been really badass for the movie. But anyway, so that they leaned with the other one, which I thought worked even better because they grew up as brothers. You know, they can't kill each other, but they want to kill each other. But they're so good at their skills that they don't. So it is what it is. Now, this movie, I couldn't be behind this guy because, first of all, his father's a G.I. Joe, which I was just like, oh, that's so freaking corny. I just didn't like that at all. I just liked the whole G.I. Joe recruited him because of his skill set.
Yeah.
Not because his dad is a G.I. Joe and he didn't want want you to know that he was a G.I. Joe and blah, blah. But I did not fall for that. I didn't like it. Now, the guy who plays Snake Eyes, he's really good.
Yeah.
But miscasted, because Snake Eyes is an American guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have used Scott Atkins for all, like, damn care as Snake Eyes. Actually, you could have used Scott Atkins in this movie, because he's an American, actually, yeah. karate fighter.
He's a ninja.
Yeah, he's a real ninja. So why not use the goddamn guy, right? Yeah. So anyway, they used in a white Asian, right? I guess you want to call him white American Asian?
He's American. No, he's British.
Is he British Asian? Yeah. So he's British Asian, not even American Asian, right? So that's even worse at that. Anyway, so they got this actor, which I think he did a good job as Snake Eyes, but I just did not like it at all. Now, your boy Storm Shadow. This is my problem with Storm Shadow. First of all, I think he was a good Storm Shadow. I think he was really good. My problem with Storm Shadow is I didn't know he was Storm Shadow. I kind of figured once he was wearing the white suit and then once he did the pose with the two swords, I said, oh, okay, Storm Shadow. But I didn't know. So I looked it up. His real name is Tommy.
It's Tommy.
It's Thomas Ashirikaji. The name. Yeah. So that's his name, so his name is Thomas.
Wow, okay.
So that out of all that, his real name is actually true. It's accurate to the whole thing.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was really good. Now, this is why I said we could debate now if he's really good or bad. Because honestly, I don't think he was bad. Because to be really honest with you, did Snake Eyes betrayed him? I don't think he did, because he didn't know why he did what he did. Like, it's like it was like they put it in a way that it was like a double-edged sword, right? Because it's like he was stuck in a corner. Snake Eyes was stuck in a corner because he didn't know he was working for Cobra at the time. Like, he was literally working for Cobra, but he didn't know that with the Rock was going to boot Storm Shadow from the Clan, right? Like, he didn't know it. But
no,
then when
he deceived them to get in.
No, so he did. He did. Yeah. But then he felt bad. That's why he went back to tell him. Yeah, to,
he
you know,
mad later after he gave him the Rock and watched him set people on fire and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and he went back.
No, it feels like, bad.
Like, I mean, honest, I'm gonna be really honest with you. I think when the two characters are their best is when he starts hating him. When he goes, after this is done, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, finally, we got the damn Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes.
Because they were friends. Because he saved his life. Now, Storm Shadow, he saved Storm Shadow's life, but it was fake. Like, it was rigged. But Storm Shadow don't know that. He just thought he saved his life. And that's he said, my boy. And then he stole from their family. And then he made him lose his heritage and all that crap.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And but the thing is, that's my see, and that's what I'm thinking. And I guess the problem that I have with this movie, I mean, I guess it's more storyline. I just don't like the him talking. And I guess is the fact is that I'm so used to him with the mute. He's like this. And you know, he's doing all the mute stuff. So taking the code of silence, not mute. So I guess that's the problem that I have with the characters. Because I do get it. Like, can you do a movie with him in the mute? I think you could. You know what I mean? Maybe could it be that one impactful part that he does talk and it's only to Storm Shadow? Like, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be like an impact scene that he's like, for once, talk to me. And he just takes the helmet off and he says something. You know what I mean? Like, something that between the, like, he only talks to him because he knows he could talk. But then after that, he puts it back on and they just wail at each other. I don't know. To me, I think it would have been dope. But it is what it is. I agree. I gave it a 2. You gave it a 2. Now, the villain here is some, like, martial arts dude.
Okay, so the main villain is a guy named Kenta. He's like their cousin or something like that.
Yeah.
Wants to be the head of the Harashikage, but he's not allowed. Like, he's not in line. He actually joins Cobra. His plan is to steal this stone, become the leader of the Harashikage, and then he's going to give the stone to Baroness, who's going to give it to, I'm assuming, Cobra Commander, and then they're going to use that for evil. I gave him a 2 as well. I don't hate the motivation. That's fine for a villain. Like, okay, a family thing. He's Japanese, you know, like the heritage and all that. Okay, cool. He's just not in it that much. He pops up every here and then, and then he's like, he'll say a couple of things. He does fight. He does kill some people with that stone. Literally obliterates people, which is okay. Real quick, this movie is all kind of like, it's somewhat grounded, and then all of a sudden there's like a magic stone that like sets people on fire. For me, and we've already talked about this with the first two movies, go all the way, be a cartoon. Don't try to make it like this is like realistic, and then all of a sudden this rock can just like evaporate people and make fire appear out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, it bugged me a little bit. Either way, he's like, okay. I mean, He's not memorable. He doesn't have any great memorable lines. Again, as far as a villain goes, I get why he's doing what he's doing, but and the way he loses that last fight. I mean, he stabs him. First of all, Snake Eyes lets him stab him in the worst stab ever. He like walks onto his sword pretty much. Like, stabbed. And somehow while he's stabbed, he ties a chain around his foot and the guy didn't realize it. Okay. You're telling me this guy wants to be the head of a ninja clan and can't realize that a guy, a chain that makes, chains make noise. There's no, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. He ties a chain on his foot. He throws him down the hole with the snakes and the snakes eat him. That's what kills him. The snakes. I gave him a 2. I don't really have a lot to say. Not that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I agree. A 2 is warranted for this character. I mean, he does fight, but he's aligned with the Cobras, which, okay, great. I don't know. I just feel like the character was thrown in there. You know, my problem with this character is like he was useless because if this is a, you know, if he's G.I. Joe and Cobras, like they should have just used some Cobra character, you know, like some useless henchman and made him cool.
What do you think of Baroness?
First of all, she was miscasted. It looked like a cosplay Baroness, right? I didn't like her much. She was tough because, you know, because she was behind the Cobras.
I like Sienna Miller better.
Sierra Miller was way better as, like, she was, when she was evil, she was evil. She didn't come out fake. Like, this one came out fake. She had the glasses and the wet hair, and I was just like, oh, okay. And then when she went up against Scarlet, that was a whack fight. Like, again, it felt like they put their budget on the main two characters, which was Storm, mm-hmm. you know, which rightfully so, but they didn't branch out. Like, they could have just brought back you know, Sierra Miller and Nicole, whatever.
Oh, Rachel Nichols.
Yeah, Rachel Nichols as Scarlet, because she was Scarlet in the franchise, and then bring back Sierra Miller as the Baroness, and you would have been fine. Everyone would know who those characters are from the previous films. But you got two characters that I honestly didn't even know she was the Baroness until the guy said it. I was just like, oh, okay. But she wasn't, I don't know.
She's unmemorable. I didn't even remember she was in this movie.
Me either. I was just like, oh, okay, we got another Baroness.
I remember Scarlet was in it. I don't remember that she was in it.
Yeah, that was a horrible fight between the two. And then she was like, oh, let's just get out of here. And then she runs away. Like, okay, cool. That's what they do in the Cobras. So I was like, fine. Yeah, I agree. I wasn't too crazy with this guy. And then he's just evaporating buildings and evaporating guys and doing this. And I was like, man, this guy sucks. Like, he ain't going to fight. I mean, when he fought Tommy, those were cool. When they were against each other with the swords. Yeah. I was like, that's pretty cool in the beginning. I was like, all right, that's dope. I thought we were going to get Snake Eyes and him joining forces to fight this guy, but we didn't. So yeah, 2 is warranted. Okay, action scenes.
All right. I mean, there's a good amount of action in this, but I have some problems with it.
Oh, snap. Let's go. What you got?
I have some problems with it. I close to hate all of the action before the third act. Mm. It's all shot. It all looks like it's shot on handheld. It's always shaking. The camera's like, but it's not it's not like Bourne Identity shaky cam. It's more like someone who's like a little unsteady like this. Like the
no stabilization. You know
what I mean? Yeah, because the shots are wider than Bourne. Yeah. It's not as zoomed up, but you still can't really, it looks like it's just guys going like, and then guys are flying. I'm like, I don't really know what's going on here. You got Iko Uwais in this from The Raid, who's one of the best like movie martial arts guys, wasted. Like that little water fight scene thing was, I don't know, it wasn't that exciting. So I don't really like any of that. However, in the third act, there is some action that I thought was pretty fun. I do actually like the motorcycle scene on the highway where the guys come and they come to get him and he jumps up on the thing and it's very over the top, but it feels that feels more G.I. Joe than anything that happens in the first like hour or so of the movie. It was fun. It was too dark. So again, like all my issues are the way it's shot more so than the action itself. I couldn't always see what was going on at certain times on that scene, but when I could, I kind of liked it. I do like the finale in like the at their mansion or whatever. I thought there were some fun moments, but overall, I'm going to give it a 3. I don't think it's like god awful, and there's a lot of it. So like if you're here just for action, it has it, but I didn't like the way it was shot. And this director, Robert Schwenke, I think his name is, he directed the Hitman's Bodyguard movie, the Hitman, the one with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson. I believe I know he did RIPD, which is a horrible movie. And he directed one of the Divergent movies as well, or two of them, one or two of them. Anyway, I'm not crazy with his style, just of shooting action. I'm not saying all his movies are bad because I've liked one or two of them, but I don't like the way he shoots. So I gave it a 3.
Okay, so I gave it a 4. I thought the action was pretty good. I did like the chase scenes. I did like the fight on top of the car rig when they were fighting on the car rig. I thought it was pretty fun. I did like him and Snake Eyes in the beginning fighting together when he saved him, or during the whole setup crap. Yeah. Like, I thought that was really fun. I enjoyed this action for what it was. I think it was missing more action, to be honest with you. I think it should have been way more. I think it should have been more training with Snake Eyes. Because Snake Eyes is like a master swordsman, just like Storm Shadow. So like, they're both kind of the yin and the yang of the swords, which I that's why I was kind of like hurt by this movie, because they didn't give him much. They didn't give him much to do with his style.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean. Like, Snake Eyes wasn't, I didn't feel Snake Eyes was Snake Eyes. I felt like he was just a generic martial artist with a title, Snake Eyes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you see those G.I. Joe movies, you see Snake Eyes with his two swords and his machine. Well, they gave it to him in the second movie, the machine guns. But I didn't feel like I was watching the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes film. Storm Shadow, yes. I was like, okay, I did feel him when he was doing his poses from the cartoon, and then he's doing all the stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. But I didn't feel it as much. But I gave it a 4 because I thought it was entertaining for this movie, I guess. But not memorable for, you know.
No, I could see that. And there is, like I said, there is a lot. Yeah. So it's not like there wasn't enough. I was just like, I just don't like the way it was shot. But that's a personal taste. Some people might be like,
Even in the rain. Remember that rain thing? I thought it was a really cool shot.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And then they were jumping the Sky Fools or whatever the hell. And they went on the rooftop with the rain. I was like, this is pretty cool. But it ended 2 seconds. I was just like, what? I was like, really?
I didn't get that part. Like, the ending. Like, he cuts that thing down and it falls. And then it's just
blocks. Yeah. So what happened was, is that the girl was going to cut across to help Tommy. And then what he did was he cut it so she didn't jump in on the fight.
And nobody noticed that he did that.
Exactly. And it was like, hey, why'd you do that? I know. That's what I said. I was just like, really? Like, Storm Shadow
was literally what I meant. Crossed. Like, he literally is just out there in the wide open, does it. I know it was to block her, but I'm like, but also they didn't see him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. I guess. Whatever.
And he literally, like, there's a lot of problems that I have with the surrounding stuff. But yeah, I agree. With that part, I was just like, really? Like, she literally was looking at him when he took the sword and went chopped the damn thing off. But I was like, okay.
And she didn't report that back, like, hey, dude, he stopped me from killing this guy.
No, but he did. We'll talk about his storyline. But anyway, yeah, I gave it a 4. You gave it a 3, right?
A 3.
You give it a 3. Okay. All right. Now, storyline.
I don't love it. But there's this movie. You know what this movie is? Mediocre. It's a mediocre movie. I don't think it's like the worst thing I've ever seen. It's not offensively bad, but it's just sort of like mediocre. Like, there's ideas in the story that I think are okay. Again, I like the whole friends turned enemies type thing where it doesn't happen till the very end, but I like that. I agree with you. I think the best stuff with Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow is when he gets mad and now he wants to fight him pretty much. So I like that. There's some interesting stuff with, like, the whole being a double agent type character where he's like, got to do that. Like, that scene. See, I don't like the execution of it because he's out there in the open. But, like, helping the Storm Shadow and the girl while also not letting them stop the other guy because he still needs his help to kill it. I like that idea of him trying to, like, balance both. But I just think it's... Again, everything feels sort of undercooked throughout. I don't like the change to the origin. And I'm not even a G.I. Joe like fan like that. You know, like I said, I never watched the cartoons. They were, you know, on before, you know, when I was growing up. But I still don't like it. Like, just go with the other one, especially after a while. Like, the kid one, that's what they did in the first two movies. Stick with that or just expand on it. You know what I mean? Maybe show them clashing as they're getting older throughout the years. And then this movie is like a sort of a culmination. I really think it should have been Snake Eyes and the villain should have been Storm Shadow. And neither, it's okay if you don't have one like kill the other, obviously, if you want to build sequels. But that should have been what it is, with the first act being showing how they became what they are. But instead, we get all the whole movie of them showing becoming what they are. And then we get 2 seconds of him at the end, you know, saying, I want to be Storm Shadow and joining the Cobras. So, missed opportunity. I gave it a 2. Again, I don't think it's a 1. Like, it didn't, like, make me want to die or anything when I was watching it. But it's just so mediocre. You know, just so mediocre.
Okay, so I gave it a 2 also. I thought this... You're right. Mediocre. Actually, mediocre is a good word. It's a very good word. I felt like it was very subpar, like, watching it. Like, I felt like they had some good ingredients in the pot. But it just didn't come together well. Like, this is the stuff that I didn't enjoy. I love that Storm Shadow was working with G.I. Joe. Good twist to it. Very different. I did like Snake Eyes was working with the Cobras. I was like, okay, but he did not know. Like, he was just like, he was at the right, the wrong place at the right time, or whatever you want to call it. Wrong place at the right time, or whatever. Whatever the damn metaphor
is. Wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes, that one. So I was like, fine. I enjoyed that. I thought it was really good. I was like, well, okay, that could work with this storyline. Then you decide to do other stuff. Like, his father was a G.I. Joe and gets killed by these buffoons and a guy with a dice. And then he calls himself Snake Eyes because of it. Didn't like that. Then is the trope of all tropes in any action movie that I fucking hate already. Because I started to notice this. And the more we started to do more movies, why every time? And Nate, you could add, you could please enlighten me. Maybe you might know why these writers decide to do this. Why every time they go to present time, the fucking hero is in a cage fighting somebody?
I don't know.
You don't notice that?
I don't know why though.
We did so many movies like a so far.
Somewhere.
Yeah. The dude is always in a pit getting his ass beat, and then all of a sudden he'll do two moves and wins the money.
Remember Jason Bourne? That's how it starts.
Yes. Like, Mortal Kombat. He's in the cage getting his ass beat. And then Jinx comes up and goes, hey, you're good. You're better than what you are. You know, something. And I'm just like, yo, Wolverine, X-Men 1. He's in a cage fighting someone. Why is every hero in a cage fighting?
That's how
they
get recruited.
Yes, to get talent. I am so sick and tired of the damn trope. Look, the next movie we do, and I swear to God, if I see the hero in a pit, it's going to deduct points. I'm telling you right now.
I don't think you have to worry about it with what we got coming up, but I'm
telling you, I'm getting so sick and tired of it. Like, my bubble has been popped with heroes. Yeah. The more action movies we do, I'm finding these tropes kind of funny. But yeah, Snake Eyes is in a pit after years of his father getting assassinated in the safe house. He's in a pit. And then the bad Cobra comes up and says, hey, we might need you for this and all this crap. And then he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. I can get you the guys. And he goes, sure, I'll join.
Yeah.
And then the movie takes off. Yeah. But the only problem that I have with this is that they never distinguished Tommy and his relationship. Like, I felt like they were best friends, like out of the blue. I know it was a sting operation for him to feel like, but it was kind of really poorly done. You know, that to me, it was
like he saved his life. This is one of those movies where saving his life was enough for him to trust them all the way.
Yeah.
And he didn't really earn it other than that.
Yeah, I just, honestly, Nate, the storyline had potential. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. Storm Shadow should have been the villain. And it should have been done in the middle of the movie so you could see more of the hatred of him going towards, like, going after him over and over and over again. And then at the end, whether you want him to talk or not, he tells him straight up, you hurt my heart. Like what you did or broke my heart or, you know, distrust or whatever. But you can make it very impactful and very meaningful for the audience to be like, damn, these two were brothers. And whether you see it from... See, and that's the thing with movie writing that I kind of miss is that they've dropped the ball. It could have been done in a way that you could feel... You could root for Storm Shadow going, you know, it's not kind of that bad, but I could see it from his point of view. Mm-hmm. But then you could see it from Snake Eyes' point of view, why they're butting heads and why they go their direction and why he hates him the most. You know what I mean? We didn't get that. I felt like it was just poorly executed. Then we got no Cobra Commander, which kind of sucks. Like, at least a scene with Cobra Commander, at least doing something, but it was the Baroness talking about Cobra. And I was just like, ah, stupid. I didn't like it. G.I. Joe's the same thing. They didn't show G.I. Joe headquarters. They didn't do nothing. It was just Scarlet getting dropped off a freaking helicopter. Off she goes, or she's in the airport. And I was just like, this is whack. Honestly, this is the movie that you should have used Cover Girl, because that's what she was supposed to be doing. Oh. Cover Girl should have been used in this movie instead of Scarlet, in my opinion. Yeah. But I agree. I gave it a 2. You gave it a 3?
2.
Oh, 2. You gave it a 2 also. Okay, overall.
I gave it a 2 overall. I just think it's like, again, mediocre. I didn't remember it, and I saw this at the theater, and I feel like in another year or two, I won't remember it after watching it this time either. It's just sort of, exists. It's not memorable, but I feel like when I hate a movie or I think it's horrible, I do remember it. So this is even like, it's sort of even worse. It's almost, even though it's not a one, it's almost worse because it's just so blah that, you know, like think about it. If you compare it to like wrestling, right?
Yeah.
You know how like you have the face characters and they cheer, or you have a heel and they boo. This is one of those heels that comes out and nobody does anything. They don't cheer or boo. They're just silent. Mm. That's this movie to me. It's just, it's there. I don't care enough to get upset about it. And it's not good enough to impress me, but it's not bad enough to make me say, wow, this is one of the worst movies I ever saw. Like some good ideas. I agree. Some okay action, especially in the second half. Good cast. I like the two leads. Like I like Andrew Koji. I like Henry Golding. I really don't have a problem with either one. I thought they were good casting, but bad script. So I don't know. I gave it a 2. I just think it's not that good, but it's not the worst.
Yeah, I mean, you said it the best. This is a mediocre movie at best, and I don't remember, and I'm never going to remember it again because I'm not going to watch it. It's not a fun movie to revisit, and to be honest, like, and especially changing origins makes it even worse, and I think that's what these movies, I always say, like, if you're going to do origin films or if you're going to tap into their lore and do something different, make it unique. Make it something that, you know, it couldn't work. You know, it worked back then because of X, Y, and Z, but in this generation, it can't work because not many people could resonate with Vietnam War and all that crap. Yeah. Then I'm okay with it. If you're going to tell me the original storyline where Storm Shadow gets disfigured, fine. But you could change it from a Vietnam War. You could change it to the 2001 Twin Towers War with Iraq.
Yeah, make it.
You know what I mean? Like you could have did something that resonates with people with that kind of war. And then you go, oh, okay. But it's the same. Twisted, boom, there you have a thing. Making it this whole thing, and it just fell very flat. Again, Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes shouldn't not been the first origin movie to me. It should have been kind of Duke and Cobra Commander going at each other, or just Duke, whatever.
Or but, even if they wanted to go all the way back and do Joe Colton, the start of G.I. Joe. You know, yeah. Like, how did it start? Even that would be more interesting than Snake Eyes.
I agree. And then with that, you could have did a team of his quirkiness, like the other, like he, you know, it'd be Joe, but then it'll be his band of brothers that are weird that you like at the
and
movie.
And then
you
at the end, it'd be like, and now we're going to be known as the G.I. Joe. And then you can do whatever you want after that. You know what I mean? Like possibilities are endless.
It's like that movie you like with Henry Cavill and the warfare of.
Oh, the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes. Yeah, something
that could
like
be
that.
Like an origin of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, it could have been just like that. It'd been Joe with a bunch of his quirky different friends, which the G.I. Joes do have different people. We could have had Heavy Duty. Yeah. You could have did so much. And you're absolutely right. Where the president says we're going to make a special unit called the G.I. Joes due to your bravery and covert ops and
boom.
Yeah.
That's an actual origins. Not this.
I agree with you. And then that would have been a whole endless stuff. So anyway, I agree. What you got for your total points?
11 out of a 25. That the box is a liar. This is actually the worst G.I. Joe movie out of the three. I will say, now that we're done with this franchise, I can't say I hate any of them, but this is the one I'll never watch again. I could say that. I could watch the other two. This one, I will never watch again.
I kind of agree with you. I'm not a fan of none of these films, but if I had to put them in an order of like, this is not top
this
two.
Third out of three.
This is very third. I'm going to be honest with you. Out of all the movies that are G.I. Joe feel, I could say Retaliation had the most cartoony, felt like G.I. Joe the cartoon. Like the villains felt like the villains. Yeah. The heroes semi-feel. I mean, they killed Duke, but it's kind of felt a little bit like, I kind of like part two. And I said it before. I know you wasn't a fan of it. You like one more. Yes. But I kind of like part two. I thought that the action and the way it was shot felt more grounded as a film. Yep. Whereas the first one to me was just corny and
corny. Part one is a cartoon with real people in it.
Yeah. You like the first one.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But again, it's bad. I don't think it's great, but I like it. And I liked it more, but it's okay. Yeah. I could still watch two. But this one.
Don't lie. You like the underwater scenes.
I hate that. That's the thing that makes me hate part one. Like, you if it was just it. The first hour, perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, this movie's awesome. Look at the Eiffel Tower, the nanomites and the running suits and the freaking flying around, and they got guns that are just little like boom, 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 boom. And as soon as they go underwater, I check out. That's it. They lose me.
All right, Nate, what's coming up next on the podcast?
Well, that is a wrap on this franchise. So, well, next episode, though, we're going to be wrapping up our, there you go. We're going to be wrapping up our underwater or water, not underwater, water-based water. Action films. We did Waterworld. We did Battleship. And now we're going actually under the water to a submarine action thriller called U-571. So that'll wrap that. And then we have a new franchise. So this is a big one. This is a big one. A very famous franchise. Well, for better or worse, we're going to be doing the RoboCop films. Now, one of the most influential and popular movies of the 80s, RoboCop. I have never seen RoboCop 3 ever. I don't even know what it's about. I have seen 2, but I don't
remember.
I feel like I don't remember it, but I know I've seen it. And I did see the remake. Okay, I saw it at the theater. So that one I remember. But yeah, only one is the only one I've seen like multiple times. And so 3 will be a first time watch for me. But we're going to do all 4 of those.
Okay, so I never seen part 2 and 3 of RoboCop. Ooh, it's the first time for me to watch. Seen the new one, the new reboot. I saw that in the theater. I mean, once they showed him, I was like, I'm going to see it. And then the first one I seen many times. Now, my question to you is, have you ever seen the Paul Haggendogs edition of RoboCop?
I think so. Yes.
It's the director's cut.
Yes. Before I got this 4K.
Okay.
But before that, I had a Blu-ray that was the director's cut. So I have seen it. Now, I've not seen them enough times to like be able to break down all the differences. But I remember last time I watched it, it was the director's cut.
Yeah, it's a very gory edition of the film.
Okay,
I
saw that one.
Yeah, so now there are multiple versions. So what version do you want to cover on the podcast? That's a good question.
Okay, so the version we will be watching for this podcast will be the director's cut.
You want to watch the Paul Haggendogg's version? Okay, we'll do that
one. Paul Haggendogg's version. We're going to go
director's cut. All right, so there you guys have it. So we're going to be doing the director's cut of RoboCop. And then we're going to go into... Do you want to start it off with the remake and then go right into the originals? So it'll just be back-to-back-to-back or back-to-back-to-back into the remake?
Yep.
Like, how
we're
going to
go... We're going to build up the lore and then see if the remake changed it, salvaged it, saved it, or anything like that.
Okay. All right.
So we'll be going perfect. RoboCop, RoboCop 2, RoboCop 3, RoboCop.
All right. Perfect. There you guys have it. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie guys, head over to youtube.com/actionmovieguys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episodes, and you can also take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Other than that, you guys could also follow Geeks and Flicks on Instagram and TikTok under Geeks the letter N Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Ashley Garon. My co-host is
Nate from Nate Flicks Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.